Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Having a new baby is absolutely one of the most exciting things that can ever happen to any couple. And it's a little scary sometimes, and you want to do everything right. But really, the most important things are keeping them safe. And sleep time, while it's relaxing for the parents, can also be a bit of a scary, uncertain time. You want to make sure baby is sleeping safely. And here to tell us about that today is Dr. Elizabeth Murray. She's a pediatric emergency medicine physician who practices in Rochester, New York. She's also part of the Baby Safe Sleep Coalition, a nonprofit organization aimed at reducing the number of deaths from unsafe infant sleep practices. She's also a spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Murray, it's a pleasure to have you join us again today. So let's talk about safe sleeping. And we've always heard now, back to sleep, babies on their back. Why is that so important?
We just know it's the safest thing for them to prevent sudden infant death syndrome. But then there's a lot more to it because we know, unfortunately, that some of these unsafe sleep deaths happen for a variety of different reasons. But we know that this is something that will kill otherwise completely healthy, wonderful babies. So it's an incredibly important topic in a phase of life that is also so incredibly hard. Coming home with a newborn baby is really a challenging time for everybody.
It is. It's pretty scary. It's pretty exciting. So let's start with night one. So we've fed the baby, changed their little diapers, done all of that stuff. And then there's the swaddling, which is a mystery to some parents. And now they've even got like white swaddling bags, things like that. You know, you just zip the baby up in those bags. So first of all, you just told us we put our babies to sleep on their back. So let's start with swaddling and then enter into the world of the crib and what you want us to know about that. So start with swaddling. What are we doing?
Yeah, the overriding theme here is going to be boring is best. You don't need a lot of stuff. And so I personally think the sleep sacks or the wearable blankets, as they're called, are great because you don't have to worry about them kind of coming undone. Sometimes doing that wrap with the blanket can be a little bit challenging to do just right. And it's just really a much easier system. And plus, it provides ample warmth for the baby. You know, I live in the Northeast and people worry about babies getting cold all the time. So we're going to put our babies to sleep with pajamas on and maybe one additional layer that we're comfortable in. So maybe a undershirt onesie under the pajamas, and then these wearable blankets are great because they will snuggle the baby in, give them that kind of comfort snuggle that they really like, but they're designed in a way that they won't accidentally cover the baby's face. And that's what we're worried about. Newborns just do not have the ability to clear even a simple sheet from covering their face. So it's actually a pretty simple, great thing to do. I usually recommend it again over the swaddling with a blanket because the blankets, babies can get themselves loose. They can accidentally get that blanket over their face. And plus, sometimes just doing that wrap technique can be a little bit tricky to do.
Well, it can. I mean, it's definitely something, you know, you practice and sometimes they fall off. But so what do you think about some of these bags and things that make it easier for mom and dad?
I think for the most part that they're great. You know, we have to always be careful with kind of the more bells and whistles they have that might not necessarily add a lot of benefit. Remember, it's really supposed to be a basic device, a basic thing to help you. You know, it doesn't need to have a lot of other fancy stuff with it. You need to make sure that it's something that fits the baby appropriately. And for the youngest infants, you know, the newborns, they often have a extra piece of fabric that's Velcroed to the device, again, so it can't come loose, that will help keep their arms snug up against their body, which is often a position of comfort for newborns. And once your baby gets to be a month or so old, they often like to have their arms out and have a little bit more freedom with their arms. And so most of these are designed so that can happen. Again, it's the blanket stays on them in a safe way, but they can have some mobility of their arms because you want to make sure their arms are free. If they do start to roll or if they start to move around a little bit, they want their arms to be free. I think in general, I think they're a great easy thing to have because when you're exhausted, which you're going to be as a new parent, even as an older parent, you're going to be exhausted. And so to have these kind of very simple, no-fail devices, I think is a great way to tip the odds in favor of safety.
Well, I agree completely. And you said boring is best. So the crib. Back in the day, there was bumpers and stuffed animals and little blanky things, but not anymore. Not at all, right?
Correct. Actually, New York State recently outlawed the sale of crib bumpers, and there's a few other states and, interestingly, some cities who have taken that same technique. You know, I think it's really one of the challenging things is that it's a reasonable expectation as a parent or a grandparent or a loved one of a new baby to walk into a baby store and think everything for sale here is going to be safe and helpful to a baby. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily always the case. And so it can certainly be very challenging for parents to kind of figure out what exactly is an okay thing to have for your baby. And so enlisting the help of your pediatrician or family doctors can certainly be really helpful. But when it comes to sleeping and when it comes to cribs, it's actually pretty easy. Boring is best. You need nothing in there other than your baby. And perhaps a wearable blanket if it's cold or if the baby likes to be snuggled. You know, the baby is not going to be aware of a cute stuffed animal or a soft pillow. In fact, they'll be much safer to have neither of those things in the crib with them. We know it puts them at significant risk for suffocation, injuries, and death.
So we've got our kids to sleep on their back. One of the things that freaked me out as a new mom, of course, now my kids are, 17 and 20, but was the rolling. At some point, Dr. Murray, they start to roll. And I kept going back in there and rolling Clayton back on his back. And they said we have to leave him on their back. But he would roll and he was a tummy sleeper. And I was almost scared to tell my pediatrician because I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. But he was a tummy sleeper. But only after he started rolling. And I was rolling him back until I just couldn't do it anymore. So what about once they start rolling? What do we do then?
And that's the key, is they have the ability to do it themselves. So once they develop the skill, then that's also kind of a protective mechanism. We want to still make sure that we have everything out of the crib because maybe they can roll one way better than they can roll the other way, and we would hate for them to roll into something soft and then get stuck. So that's a really important time to have the crib be completely empty. And I think it's an important reminder that we always want to be prepared kind of a developmental stage ahead of our children, whether it's a toddler who all of a sudden is walking and therefore can reach something much higher on a counter than they could the day before, or maybe fall out of a crib because the mattress is too high. We're always trying to plan a developmental stage ahead. So making sure that crib is always free of toys and blankets and pillows is going to make sure that you're ready. So if your baby does start to roll, and I think we try our best, we start the baby on their back, but if your child is able to roll back and forth and they can get themselves into their own position of comfort, then that's going to be okay. Because again, they have that developmental skill. We don't want to artificially put a baby in a position that they can't move themselves into or out of in a safe way. So always starting them on their back. But once they get that skill to roll, that's okay.
So I know we're talking about safe sleep, but we're also talking about sleep. And that being one of the biggest things for parents. So, because we can't be good parents if we are not getting enough rest ourselves and babies as well. So if we've done all of these things you've discussed, first of all, do you recommend pacifiers? Because, sometimes there's some controversy. Can we use binkies in the beds?
Definitely. I do recommend them. I think that they've been shown to be protective against SIDS. And so that can be a very beneficial thing. And I think that people usually are able to have great success breastfeeding still with the use of a pacifier. Some babies don't like it, and that's fine. But if your baby gets comfort from it, then that's also going to be totally fine. We want to make sure that our babies are kind of close to us, but not in the same bed. So same room, but not the same bed. And remember, too, as you enter into the world of sleep, you are creating that reality for your baby, for your child. So it's them learning to self-soothe. It's learning to be able to fall asleep on their own. You don't want to have a two-year-old that can only fall asleep if they're being held in your arms by you, because that's not sustainable forever. So we want to make sure that we're remembering in those hard nights when we really just want to fall asleep with the baby in our arms, we want to make sure that we're modeling the best things for our child. So they're learning their own sleep hygiene, we call it. So they're learning their own good ways to fall asleep right from the get-go. So having a routine can be really helpful for us and for the baby as well. So they learn how to settle themselves down and get a good night's rest.
Well, I think you brought up a really good point that I want to make sure that we mention. And even before we talk about some sleep techniques and ways to get our babies to sleep, you said make sure babies separate from the parents. Please give us the AAP position on co-sleeping and what the situation is with bed sharing, because some parents still do it and they still think that that's the best way and that it's easier for nursing mothers. Please tell them what you know about this.
It gets into a little bit of tricky terminology here. I think we use the term SIDS quite a bit, and that is fine for some of the stuff we were just talking about. But when it comes to co-sleeping, the risk here is actually a death by suffocation, or a very 100% preventable death. When these deaths occur, there is a reason assigned to it. It's not that it cannot be figured out. And this is definitely something that's kind of almost new within this in the past generations. You know, historically, when babies would die, a lot of times they just towns and did not have the resources to do big investigations. It was understandably a tragedy, and it was kind of just left as a tragic situation that happened. But with development of medical examiner's offices and more investigation systems, we were able to determine that many of these deaths that previously had just been labeled as SIDS were actually injuries from suffocation. And so they were happening either by babies having blankets or stuffed animals or things in their cribs, or they were happening in co-sleeping situations, whether it be on a bed or also very risky would be a couch or some type of a reclining chair when the parent and the child both fell asleep and the baby would somehow get entrapped. I think it's really important to remember that, you know, the data is not showing that you have to be obese or, you know, inebriated or anything like that. A healthy parent can have this happen to them with a healthy, robust child. You know, these are not people being negligent. These are terrible accidents that are happening. A simple sheet covering a newborn's face can be enough to cause a suffocation in that child. So the recommendations are very, very clear. We want the baby to be in their own safe sleep space. So a bassinet or a crib can be right next to the parent's bed. The best case scenario is in the parent's room for at least the first 6 months, but the first year if you can do it, and then you can transition the baby to their own room. If parents feel like they're going to get themselves in a situation where they might be falling asleep while holding the baby, there's some things you can do to kind of, again, tip the odds in favor of safety, but this is not something we would want people practicing on a regular basis. People are usually able to breastfeed beautifully and just fine by putting their baby down in a bassinet right next to their bed right after the completion of breastfeeding.
Well, that's really great information, such important advice, and now getting the kids to sleep. What do we do about that? How do we get our kids to sleep? Do we let them cry it out? Is that dangerous? There's so many techniques out there, right?
There are, and that's the million-dollar question, right? We wish there was one easy way to do it. There's going to be some differences with each baby that, you know, no matter how many books we read, we all know that each child is going to have their own personality. And you might have had a great sleeper with the first child, and then even though you've done nothing different, your second child is really giving you a run for your money. And that happens. And that, I think, can add to our frustration and add to the challenging of parenting. But it's also some of the excitement of parenting as well, I guess. So I think simple things that I know helped me. And I think if you think about it, again, from that mindset of, you are actually working to create your child's reality and their own healthy habits. We know that the end goal is for your child to be able to learn how to sleep in their own space and get a good night's rest. So if you kind of take that approach right from the get-go, you can remind yourself that, all right, learning to kind of self-soothe is an important thing for my baby to do. So when I put my baby down, that when they're a little bit sleepy but not totally asleep, then that last phase, they're figuring it out on their own in their own safe sleep space instead of them falling asleep in my arms as a six-month-old and then kind of doing their normal waking in the night as all babies will do a little bit, and then all of a sudden realizing, wait, I'm not in mom's arms anymore, where am I? And being a little scared and being confused, and then really having a complete awake cycle. So if you can start with, once your baby is a couple months old, really making sure you're putting them to sleep while they're groggy and sleepy, but not totally asleep. That way they're falling asleep in that environment that they'll then be waking up in, and so they won't be as startled, and they know that they're in a good place and they can get themselves back to sleep. And also starting right from the get-go with simple routines like, you know, bath, brush, book, bed. You know, if they don't have teeth, you don't necessarily have to be brushing their teeth yet, but, you know, you do a nice soothing bath as many nights a week as your child is appropriate for their skin and for their age. Reading books to babies right from birth on is so important for their development. It's nice bonding time with the baby. and it's a nice soothing routine, and then putting your baby to bed after that. So if you can have that nice simple routine, that can kind of set the stage for relaxation, for quiet time, and then for going to bed and setting them off to sleep.
Wrap it up for us, Dr. Murray, with what you'd like us to know about sleep as the baby even matures and those first couple of nights, weeks, months of new baby, and really the most important information to keep our babies safe when they sleep and so that we can get a good night's rest as well.
I think all of this is much harder on the parents than it is on the baby, because we love our children so much and we worry about them. And just remember that you are showing an incredible amount of love and caring by making sure your baby is in their own safe sleep environment. Nothing else kills healthy babies at a rate that as unsafe sleep does. So making sure that you follow that boring is best and back to sleep guidelines for your baby is really the most loving, caring thing you can do for your child. So have them be by themselves without any things in their cribs, no matter how cute and wonderful those toys are. By setting that routine, you're setting them off for a good start so that they can then develop their own good, healthy sleep routines. You will get through it. It is going to be hard. There's going to be good nights and there's going to be bad nights, and nothing is going to be perfect all of the time. But going back to that routine of whatever you set, especially the book, brush, bed, that will help quite a bit, and it'll get you through some of those harder nights. Don't be too hard on yourself. It's a long game, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Absolutely true, and great information. And like I said, just so important for us to hear. Thank you again, Dr. Murray, and we hope you'll join us again. You're listening to Healthy Children. All of our experts are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. They are the gold standard. The American Academy of Pediatrics is the gold standard, and we love our pediatricians here at Radio MD. Please share this show with friends that you know that have new babies or parents-to-be, because this is the information. These are the experts giving you the best information to keep babies safe. You can listen on Spotify, TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere podcasts are played. But of course, we want you to listen at RadioMD.com. I'm Melanie Cole for Healthy Children. Stay well.